Hello, YSL fans. It's me again. Yes, I am back. I am back with a vengeance. I am back for the final episode of season number one in the YSL podcast. And to be honest, it's been a long time coming. This year has been upside down, back to front, all over the shop. So, to be honest, it's, it could have been done a couple of months ago, this. However, that's not the case. It's happened how it's happened. This is the last episode, nearly coming towards the beginning of the new season. Would you be surprised at that? No, not with me. So, yes, welcome, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in after a fantastic year. That was a joke, by the way. But, yes, thank you, everybody, that has stuck with me so far. I know it has been up and down, and hopefully in the new season I'll try to get more podcasts and maybe even a little bit more stuff out there for you. But currently, it is the 26th of August, 2020. We're nearly at the end. We are nearly at the end of the year. And I can tell you, I cannot wait for 2021. What a year it's going to be. But we've still got to finish off this year. And I think there's a lot of talking points to get through. So, yes, as I did on the first ever episode, for any of you long-time listeners out there, the first episode I did was a season review on the previous season. And it was me kind of explaining that for the season that's now currently finished, the 1920 season, I was going to get a season ticket and I was going to support the Owls, which I have done all the way through. And the season before, I kind of went to quite a lot of games. It's just that I didn't actually have a season ticket. So I knew a lot about that, and that's what prompted the YSL podcasts. And since then, I've gone on to make about 20 something podcasts, couple of videos, a giveaway. I wish I could have done more. Made a Twitter page, made a website, an Instagram, and it has been quite shy over the recent months for many reasons, and I do apologize for that. But hopefully after what I'm going to be telling you today, we can revamp it. And yes, that if you follow me on Twitter, the last thing I posted was there's big things to come and big things that have happened. So I will announce that at the end of the podcast. So stay tuned. So today we are not only going to do a talk on the new season and what's happened in the recent months, not only for Sheffield Wednesday but for football in general. But we are also going to have, yes, that's it, the season review. So, without further ado, let's get into it with the first point. So, yes, without further ado, let's begin the season review. I didn't mean to rhyme that. But yeah, how do I sum it up? I can't do it. I can't do it. So, I'm going to have to try and make this as short and sweet as possible. But as if you listen to my most recent podcast, I do blabber on for a while. But I'll try and make this as quick as possible, but as in depth as well. So, at the start of the season, we, for anybody who's lived under a rock for the past year, we didn't have a manager at the start all that time ago. We had Bullen in charge at the beginning of the season. And it started off pretty well. It started off okay with Bullen. Bullen made some good changes at the start of the season. It went into a normal 4-4-2. And then as the season progressed, at the start we beat Barnsley and then results began to slip away, and then there was a big call for we need to get a manager in. And at the time, Chris Hughton was a big person in Wednesday fans' minds of being the next guy, but obviously through rumours apparently he turned it down, so we ended up with Gary Monk. We were in between two Garys, it was in between Gary Rowett or Gary Monk. And did we come out with the best option? I'm not sure. I think both have positives and negatives to the game. I think probably Gary Monk's maybe a better manager, but probably is he a better man manager? I'm not sure. So, and you've got to kind of have both in this day and age. But the season went, the season carried on. Gary Monk got the best out of the players, really. As it came up to Christmas, we were third, and it was looking really, really good. It was Gary Monk's Barmy Army. We had everything we needed. We got that pace, what we lacked from the season before. We'd signed some fantastic players for virtually nothing. And, you know, players like Dominic Iorfa, Kadeem Harris, Josh Murphy were all smashing it, who'd come through. And then in the winter, we ended up signing back Connor Wickham and Josh Windass. And we thought, you know what? We can smash it here. As long as we keep players fit, we can absolutely smash the league. And to be fair, the league wasn't as hard as it usually is. You would only say, really, out of the teams in that league, the only difficult ones you would probably say is Leeds and West Brom. The ones that you were kind of certain they would probably go up or have a good go at it. And the rest of them, really, you weren't really expecting anything of any team, to be fair. I think even teams like Fulham, who ended up going up, you weren't, they had good players and you'd expect them to do better than what Wednesday have. But you'd think, you know, Wednesday on the day could probably beat them. And to be fair, third at Christmas did seem a bit over the top for the team that we had. But I thought we would drop out, personally, at the playoffs. But overall, I didn't think that we would do as bad as what we have done. You know, after Christmas, we made some signings, a couple of injuries came about, and something happened. I'm not sure what happened, whether it was just the players and the manager falling out, whether it was the fitness, whether it was the tactics, whether teams just managed to find out what Wednesday were all about. And then that's all she wrote, really. After about Christmas, the only team that had a worse record than us in the league were Hull. And Hull was not far off where we were. We were about third and they were about eighth or something like that. And they ended up getting relegated. So it's a good thing we had such a fantastic start, or we would have really been in the shit. And to be fair, I'll come on to even more of a reason why we might have been in the shite. But yeah, it was tough to see that. And, you know, you just thought that every week, there were one time when every home game you thought, we're just not going to score. And not only that we're not going to score, we're going to get battered and all. You know, the when it were lost 5-0 at Blackburn, when Blackburn came to us, I think it were 5-1 at Derby when they came. And, you know, the amount of 5 and 6 nils they were, the amount of embarrassments they were, it was just unbelievable. The only team that we, you know, we got more wins at Loftus Road this year in 2020 than we have at Hillsborough. That's how crazy it's been this 2020. And not only off the pitch, but on the pitch as well for Sheffield Wednesday and the fans. It's been ludicrous. But overall, a poor season. I wouldn't have expected Wednesday to get promoted this season. I think a lot of people wouldn't. I think there was a lot of promise at the start with Brucey being in charge and some players coming in after the embargo that we had last year. It was nice for that to happen. However, it obviously didn't pan out that way, and it was a bit gut-wrenching for Wednesday fans in 2020. But overall, for Gary Monk, he started very well. He got the most out of the plays, and then something changed. I seem to think it was that game against Stoke, the two, I think we lost 2-1. Just after Christmas, I believe, and Stoke were at the bottom of the table. We were away and we conceded 2 goals in the last 5 minutes. I reckon something happened around then. And the amount of late goals we conceded and then the poor defending, and we really struggled. And I think Gary Monk knew but he didn't get across to the fans, and I think that's why it was difficult for some fans to adapt to him and to appreciate Gary Monk as Sheffield Wednesday's manager, because in these interviews he weren't like Carlos and so passionate or Brucey and talked about the actual game, which is what you need to. He just talks about how the players need to be stronger mentally in those last dying embers of the game, and that's true, but you need to back that up with some reason. Is that in the last five minutes of the next game, do you bang another defender on and put five at the back, or do you bang another attacker on and go for that goal so you're always showing that you're going for it? Do you play defensive or attacking? And I think in the previous managers that we've had, probably since about 2014-15, you had Stuart Gray, who was quite defensive. You had Carlos, who was attacking. You had Lukai, who was bitterly defensive. You had Brucey, who was attacking. But Gary Monk, which way do you go? He's not overly defensive, but he's not overly attacking. And he's just he's very average, you know what I mean? And as well, with Brucey, there was a lot of guarantee that his football worked. There was, he had trophies to back that up. He had promotions to back it up. With Carlos, he showed on the pitch that sometimes, even if Wednesday didn't necessarily win, they did always give it a good go, and they were passionate and they played good passing football, and it was enjoyable to watch. With Lukai, it was just so defensive. Every game we looked like we lost, even though some of them we did win. We beat Norwich 5-1. And Gary Monk's a bit like that. I think he's got touches of Lukai in him, and I think that's why it's so tough for some fans to get over that. But I don't think it was all solely on Gary Monk this year. I think it was the players as well. And even, you know, every time a manager doesn't do very well, you've got to blame the players in a sense, because they go out and do it. They might not play for the manager, but it seems like they've got a relatively decent chemistry, the players and the manager. You know, Chancellor Ice looks to have backed him with what I'm going to come on to. But in regards to the players, I mean, not many stood out, to be fair. Keeper-wise, Westwood, he started in net at the beginning of the season, but he looked past it. Cameron Dawson, when he came in, Gary Monk put his faith in him, and fair play to him. I think Cameron Dawson looked like a keeper. He had the height of, compared to Westwood and Wildsmith, he had good handling. But as the season went on, it showed that his kicking weren't as good. He weren't good at a shop stopper as what Westwood was. And he was kind of shunning the light, is that you will never be as good as Cameron Westwood. And because we still had Westwood, but because he got dropped out of the team, or chucked out, depending on what way you want to say, it was always a bit of a sour taste in the Wednesday fans' mouths. And I think for a long time his head was called on to be axed from the squad. And to be fair, I think at some points, I think he probably should have, because it was just constant goals that he was conceding. And not only you would benefit from the club, but putting a young lad in front of getting conceded goal after goal, it's hard to come back from that, especially as a keeper, mentally. And I think it was, and then Wildsmith came in after the City game, because he had a fantastic game against City. I think they played Dawson one more game after that, but then they kept with Wildsmith. And again, he wasn't fantastic, but he was a lot of an improvement to Cameron Dawson. I think Wildsmith has got that game in him where he could save you, where Dawson didn't really have that. He kind of relied. Dawson was good talking to the defence, and if he had a strong defence in front of him, he'd probably be a decent keeper. But Wildsmith, I think sometimes if your defence didn't play that well, you could maybe have a good game. You look at the past, I mean, The City game, Wildsmith had a cracker of the game. You look at the game where he played against Sheffield United at Bramall Lane, where he virtually saved Wednesday from losing that game. And I think Wild Smith probably is the keeper for the moment, in my opinion. But is he the keeper for as long as what Westwood has? Do we need a new keeper? Possibly. Looks like we signed a new youngster who's come in. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But anyway, he looks okay in training from what I've seen from the Sheffield Wednesday Instagram and TikToks and all that stuff. But we'll see. Now, in regards to defenders, I think Palmer kind of had an average season. He'll never pull any trees up for you, I don't think, because I just don't think he's at that level. But he's a lifelong Wednesday fan, and he'll always put a shift in, which is good. Borna, I think he started off the season very well, and then just slightly tailed off. But still, he reads the game very well. He's good at positioning. He's got an old head on him, which is good. He might be a little bit short, but he makes up for that in character. So, I think he was pretty good overall. Morgan Fox, I think he had a very good season for him. But again, he's one of those players that never would, you would never see Morgan Fox in a championship winning side unless you've got a fantastic team. And he's gone to Stoke. So, I mean, if Stoke had a blinder in a season, I wouldn't be surprised. But it wouldn't be Morgan Fox that would save them. And I think he was the reason. Tom Lee's had a bit of a mare. I think he lost a bit of trust with the manager and lost a bit of trust with the fans as well because of just the constant errors that he was prone to. And, to have a captain not playing the team every week is a bit of an issue. It was mainly Bannon that was getting the captaincies most weeks. So, but yeah, I don't think he had a good season. Odabaggio came in, looked really good, looked like someone we needed, someone who was really, really quick, someone who could be a wing back or a right or just a full back. But as the season went on, he was prone to a lot of errors. I think he gave away about 6 penalties in the season. He obviously suffered with some sort of depression from his Twitter. I feel sorry for him because I don't think he got a massive amount of time to prove himself wrong. I remember him a couple of games toward the end of the season. He had a fantastic game and that really helped him out. But in January, to say he was been told he was free to leave, to get back in the squad, I think that's quite a lot. That's it takes quite a lot of balls and guts as a player to do that. And I think he has probably still got something in him. But can Gary Monk get that out of him next season? Hopefully. And then my main man, I would say, for this season is Dominic Iorfa. I think he was my player of the year. He was obviously Sheffield Wednesday's player of the year because he was voted it by you wise owls out there and also by myself. He was something different. He looks like he could be in the Premier League. He was brought on by Brucey, and he's just got everything. He's got the height, he's got the athleticism, he's got the pace, he's got the strength. If we get up, or even if we do okay next season, it'll be very hard to hold on to him. I think the only reason why he's probably not been picked up this season is because how poorly we've done. I think that's what happened with Mikel Antonio, is that the times when we had him is that we did so rubbish that not many teams picked up on us because they just thought, well, none of these can be that good if they finished 16th in the championship. So, but I think if we had a good season, maybe top 6 or top 8 or something like that, I think a Premiership team would really be interested in signing him. In regards to the defence as a whole, it has been very shoddy. I've probably forgot some people, which I'm going to think about now. Obviously, I completely forgot about Big O, Urogady. I mean, what a player. He's, he, he came through out of absolutely nowhere, had a stormer against Brighton, and then kind of went off the ball a little bit because Palmer kept himself in the team a bit. He also, though, he played one game. Who was it against? With Blackburn? I think it was the Blackburn game where we got beat 5-0. He got sent off. And he got two yellow cards. But to be fair to him, he got a standing ovation when he walked off. And that takes a lot for Wednesday fans to stand up and applaud a red card. Because it was definitely two yellows. It was, you know, the maturity of him where he just didn't know whether to tackle or not. But he showed that he really wanted it. And he showed something what a lot of other players hadn't this season. And he got commemorated for that. So, big up, big O. We now move on to midfielders. I mean, to be fair, the star men for me in the midfield were probably Kadeem Harris, Jacob Murphy, and Bazabi and Luongo. I think Kadeem started really well, started like an absolute whirlwind at the beginning of the season and then dropped off around about November time. But he had something what we didn't have before. He had that pace, he had strength, he had the ability to take on a man. He was kind of a one-trick pony that he always takes it downside, cuts in, does that little shimmy shimmy and then crosses the ball in. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But he was something different and something that we needed. I think it caught out a lot of teams at the beginning of the season. Bannon was just Bannon, really. Classic Bannon. Probably a bit worse than what he usually is, but overall not too bad. I think Kieran Lee had a decent season to say that he'd just come back from hip injury, a big one and all that could have just ended his career. I think he had an okay season, to be fair. Nothing amazing, nothing what you would compare Kieran Lee to, but he was quite consistent. You know, when he played, he didn't do really anything wrong. Luongo, I think he was the star man in midfield for me. You're probably my second player of the year. Yes, above Fletcher as well. I would say that now. You know, he was a cool blanket to chill the heat of knowing that Sam Hutchinson was there in the team but never got in the actual squad. But he was good. I think he were a proper bulldog. The only unfortunate thing is that he were injured a lot, and I think he could have been an amazing... I think he were a big reason why we started very well and then dropped off. I think he were that good player to have at the end of the game. In regards to the players who didn't do very well this season, Joey Pellepesti and Adam Reach, I think they were the ones that didn't do as well. I think Pellepesti, if you listen to my previous podcast, I'm not the biggest fan of him anyway. He did have one good game, to be fair to him. He had a fantastic game, actually. At Everton, at home, at the beginning of the season in the League Cup. And he actually got a couple of places because of that. But then he just obviously dropped off. He's just not that defensive midfielder. He can't do that role. Maybe if he was a left back or something like that, he'd maybe prosper. But I just don't think he's in the right position. Same with Adam Reach. I think he's always put in the wrong position. You know, he'll have one amazing game in eight. And I think Wednesday probably should have sold him when, you know, he was so bigged up about scoring all those mint goals that season. And Wednesday just never cashed in on him, really. You know, I think someone wanted like 11 million for him or something like that. I don't know. Something ridiculous. But again, a really disappointing season for Reece, to say how much we spent on him and how key he was a couple of seasons ago. I mean, it's daft. Two really good young talents who are coming through, I think, are Liam Shaw and Alex Hunt. I think Alex Hunt even give the Man City midfield a run for the money. I think he, you know, the championship version of Phil Foden, it looks like. But I really rate him. I think he's a really top-class player. The only problem, is he a bit small? Will that affect him as he gets later on in his career? Liam Shaw, I think he looks a good player as well. He came on at QPR at towards the end of the season, I believe. But yeah, again, overall, I think the midfield were better than the defence. But again, a lot of room for improvement there. And in regards to the strike force, not really a lot can be said because there weren't that many goals. But in regards to the strike force, there was only one outstanding man. That was Stephen Fletcher. He had a fantastic season for us, probably the best one he's had. And to say he's 34, that's a real accomplishment. However, it's a big accomplishment, but not really for Wednesday, because the fact that he's actually almost coming to retirement is a big concern. And obviously Stokes now signed him, and fair play, he might still have another good season, and it's worth a punt, to be fair on him. But again, do you want to be tied down and knowing that your best striker is 34 years old and there's a good chance he could get injured a lot? And it was a bit concerning how much we relied on Fletcher to do well. But overall, he had a fantastic season for us. But I think the reason why he did is because everybody else in strike was shite. Jordan Rhodes had a terrible season. You know, again, he's one of those players that I feel sorry for because, to be fair, every time that he got a start, Gary Monk would take him off after about 60, 70 minutes because they go, right, OK, he's not scored, bring someone else on. When really, for Jordan Rhodes, I think you just need to keep playing him and playing him and playing him. And also, they played him not really with a good partner. They sometimes played him with Winnell, but they should have really played him next to Fletcher or next to Nuiu, because he needed that big presence in the team. And he never really got that. He had one good game, that hat-trick that he scored. A fantastic hat-trick it were, actually. It were left foot, right foot and overhead, weren't it? Almost a perfect hat-trick. But, oh no, it were the perfect hat-trick. It were left foot, right foot and header, weren't it? But, yeah, he had a fantastic game. And then other than that were it, which were unfortunate for him. But I really thought after then he'd come good, but he just didn't have it. And I think maybe now he's maybe possibly a bit past it. Nuiu had a Nuiu season. What a way to finish. What a way to finish for Nuiu. But he did his job. But obviously, playing like that, you can't rely on to score your goals. And Sam Whittle had a very poor season. Didn't really get a chance towards the end of things to get in the team. But overall, a poor thing. A poor season for him. Also, just one last point as well. Sam Hutchinson, which I forgot to mention, because he did actually play at the start. I mean, he did look quite good, but got dropped. And obviously, he came out quite recently talking about mental health and things like that. And he did mention about Wednesday, because now he's actually left. He talked about how difficult it was when the physios left, and you know, to get that link from the players to the backroom staff, and how key that is, and that was an interesting point what he made. But overall, players poor. But yes, my player of the season was probably number one, Dominic Iorfa, because he was just a diamond in the rough of a poor defence. My second was Massimo Longo. I think he probably would have been my number one if he would have stayed fit all season. And number three was Stephen Fletcher, just because of the goals and how much we relied on him. But yes, that is basically my season review. But we're not done just yet. So, the final part of the season review is the end of the season. So, what do I think of the loanees that came in for Wednesday, such as Josh Windass, Connor Wickham? I can't remember who else they were, actually. But the main two, anyway, without even really thinking about it, were Josh Windass and Wickham. I thought Windass always looked a threat when he came on, but never really got a start for us, which were a bit annoying. But we look like we're in for him again to try and sign him. Wickham, obviously, when he came in, realised he was definitely out of fitness, match fitness. And obviously, because of his many injuries, it showed that he was suffering, because he just didn't really get that many games. He did score a couple of times, to be fair for him, which was good, especially after a little bit of the lockdown, because he lost a little bit of timber within that, got a bit more match fit, and I think that did help him. He came in with a lot of timber on, which, to be fair to him, which he struggled with. Overall, he had an okay season at Wednesday, but in the same breath, he struggled as well. You wouldn't want to rely on him. But yeah, the loanees that we had, I'm looking them up now because I've genuinely forgot. I should have looked these up now, but the main one for me were Josh Windass, even though he didn't really get a start. Obviously, there were Jacob Murphy as well. I think overall, Jacob Murphy had a good season for us. He had something about him, and it looks like we are needing someone like that, because we need to add that pace onto us. And that were it. I've just realised it were Alessio de Cruz. That's how much he did for Wednesday, because I completely forgot about him. Absolutely, I don't think he recorded a goal, and I think he only recorded one assist. But when he came on, he looked like he were a threat, and then didn't really do anything. Like, and again, we are looking into him. And I mean, would I bring him back after the loan spell that he had? No. So there you go. But anyway, on to the releases. We released Nuiu, Kieran Lee, Sam Hutchinson, Stephen Fletcher, Morgan Fox, Forestieri. Well, we did offer Forestieri, Fox and Fletcher, the three Fs, new contracts. But however, I wouldn't have offered them new contracts anyway. I don't think Fox is good enough. I thought he played well for us, but I don't think he's good enough. Matt Penny is just as good, to be fair. And he's younger. I think Fletcher is a ticking time bomb for a big injury or retirement, and you do not want to rely on him. If he was cheap on wages, then I probably would keep him, but he's obviously not. Apparently he's on about 30 grand a week. That could be the same amount as two young up-and-coming talents, or maybe a couple of loanees, maybe two or three loanee players. So that needed to happen. Forestieri were obviously on also a little bit. Obviously had his time at the club as well. I mean, his season, it was the same as every season bar the 2015 one, where it just didn't happen. Always seemed like we needed him, and Gary Monk did keep him out of the team for a long period of time and then brought him in because the fans wanted him. But did he do anything? No, not really. He was just an excitement because you knew he had it in him to do something amazing, but never actually got to it. Nuiu and Lee, I think Kieran Lee's time was up. I think, again, you can't rely on a player that's been injured that poorly for a long period of time. Again, to be fair to him, he did have a good season, but I think to use his wages on a new upcoming player was key. And same with Nuiu. Again, my favourite Wednesday player of all time, to be fair, especially in my era, because he was just funny. You know, everybody liked it. Even the people who hated him liked him, really. That was the best thing about Nuiu. He got the fans together. He made you have a laugh. He always went for it. He always put 110% in. And I said this on one of my tweets, is that is really hard to come by now. A lot of players don't go for it. Like Jacob Murphy. To be fair to him, he is a better player than Nuiu. Probably Nuiu, for technique-wise, he's probably one of his worst players. However, he's a good header of the ball, Nuiu. But he can't jump, but he can head a ball. But Jacob Murphy's got that laziness. You look at Jay Bothroyd, he was just as good as Nuiu, but he was lazy when we had him. on loan all those years ago. But yeah, I think New Year was just something different. My missus was a massive fan of New Year because I think just because she were. So were I. I loved him. And I were a bit sad to see him go. I know he's probably time. He should have gone a couple of years ago anyway. But apart from, I think that purple patch when Luke I were in charge saved him. But overall, I think he's... I think he was probably about time, weren't it? But, yeah, so that is kind of really technically the end of the season review. Not a great season, probably one of the worst in recent times, but it was only bad. It was only the worst because how well we did at the start, and that's what we've got to understand is that, true, we did get and finish very low in the table, but the same team got very, very close to top two. So we can do it. It's just having that consistency to do it all the time. However, over the season, something has loomed over Sheffield Wednesday, and I don't think I have to tell any of you what that was. But I'll say it anyway, for any people who are listening who aren't Wednesday fans. It was the FFP, Financial Fair Play, the EFL towering over us, threatening to do us in with a points deduction. And yes, as we all kind of assumed, it was going to happen. I think we all deep down knew how we were going to get a points deduction, and that's what happened. The other day we got announced that for next season, we were going to get a points deduction of minus 12 points. So currently, we are at the bottom of the league already with no games played. But it wouldn't be Wednesday, would it? If they weren't for a points deduction. But anyway, that's it, really. But anyway, going on to the points deduction, I think it's very torn between the two. I think it's a lot of fans who think it's ridiculous and another set of fans that kind of appreciate the fact that what we've done is wrong. Obviously, there is something wrong that we have done. It's showed in the findings, and it showed that it was something to do with a date of when the stadium was sold. And now, if you listen to one of my previous podcasts, I go all into detail about the FFP and the rules and regulations and all that nonsense about why we was getting done. So if you want to listen back, I think it's about episode 14 or something like that. If you want to listen back on what we were getting done for, give that a listen. It's all about that. But overall, it was going to either be a points deduction or we were going to get away with it. It was one of the two. We weren't just going to get a fine and a slap of the wrist. We went over by a lot, and that's happened. Now, over the past couple of days, we were also done for very similar reasons on Derby's charges. However, as I say, in the last couple of days, Derby has seemed to have got away with it. They've not seemed to have got a points deduction, which has caused a massive outroar on the Wednesday fan base, especially on Twitter. And again, we don't know the reasons why, and Wednesday are obviously appealing it, which I'm very shocked at, because actually, you know, in the findings, what I read is that they want the EFL wanted to give the 12 minus 12 points deduction this season that's just happened, so we would have been relegated. However, the independent committee, with the delay and obviously all Corona, it managed to save Wednesday and get put on for next season. Now, a lot of teams like Charlton have really kicked off of that. This, especially Charlton, in the situation that they are, a relegation is almost a death sentence for them. So, and to say they should have stayed up really is a bit of a kick in the knob, really. And if I were a Charlton fan, I'd be pretty pissed off for something that's happened in 2017. Why are we not getting done until the 2020-21 season? But nevertheless, that's what's happened. That's what has happened. and that's how it's going to stay, really. Now, I was a bit concerned when Wednesday were going to appeal, as I said, because what happened with Macclesfield is that Macclesfield, in League 2, they were one place above the relegation zone and Stevenage were at the bottom. Macclesfield appealed. I can't remember what it actually was, what they got done for, but anyway, they had a points deduction, they tried to appeal it, and then they ended up getting more of a points deduction, and now they got relegated and Stevenage stayed up in League 2. Now, could that happen? Is that, could Wednesday appeal, and then could they get done even more for appealing? Like, it's like a red card, is that if they get banned for one match, if they appeal it, they can look into it, and actually, could they get banned for three matches? Or could you get away with it and do the opposite? And whoever's been advising Chancery or whoever makes those decisions is appealing it. And fair play to them for doing that. But anyway, that were the main downfall of the season, I believe, is that that was looming over the squad, the manager, the backroom staff, the fans, the players, the chairman, the whole club in general. And for it to happen, it was, when I saw it, it was a bit gut-wrenching, but it was also a bit of a relief because I thought, oh God, it could have been 21 points at one bit. And 12 points is tough to not get relegated, but it's not the be-all and end-all. If Wednesday have a good season, you know, if Wednesday had an average season with 12 points deducted, we'd stay up. You know, Birmingham had 9 points deducted and they stay up. We'd have to have a good season. That's what we've got to do this season. You've got to have a good one. But it's not a relegation completely. Not yet. To be fair, we could probably pick up 6 points from Rotherham and 6 points from Barnsley next season, so we might be all right. But anyway, the points deduction is the points deduction. There's nothing else that the fans can really do. We've just got to suck it up and move on next season. And the best way to do that is what we're doing at the moment, is that getting a new, fresh legs. This is the first time where I feel like that actually these new players coming in, and it's not the same old team, the same old backroom staff. It feels like Wednesday are at least trying to change something and do something. And that's fair play to them. You know, now that the points deduction's over, Chancery can now put a bit more money in the club. Obviously, with more restrictions to make sure that he's not going to do what he's done. I think the reason why it happened is because he was illy advised previously. And now this time he's going to be a little bit better advised. You know, it was kind of, as I said in a lot of my podcasts previously, is the shit or bust thing, is where go for it and hopefully we get promoted. You know, at one point, Chancery said, to get away with what we've done, we'd have to get promoted. So, you know, if we did get promoted, all this would have been fine, but obviously not. But yeah, Chancery, he's got a lot of stick this year, especially for getting us the points deduction and putting us in the mess in the first place and being badly advised. However, I read a thing that he puts in £1 million a day into the club or something like that. I think it's a ridiculous amount of money. And to do that, he must care about the squad a bit. He is a businessman. That's the be-all and end-all. He's not a football club owner. He's not like Tony Stewart at Rotherham. He's someone who wants to grow this business, take him to the Premier League and then sell him on for a big fat wad. But I think he's doing right. He's trying to do right by the club. At least we give it a go. That's kind of the feeling, is that at least we give it a good go in the past few seasons and we tried something. Obviously, it didn't work, but it's better than a lot of teams. You know, teams like Rotherham that come up to the Championship kind of assume, right, we're going to get battered, get ready for League One promotion next season. So that's it. That's all they can do. But the club as a whole was tainted. It was a sinking ship, is what I class it as, at some point in the season. But now I feel like it could be a bit of a submarine, something that's not down but not out, something that's could rise back up to the top of the sea and see us in Championship. But yeah, I think what needed to happen is that new beginnings, and this is what it feels like. this season. And it always feels like that at the start. It felt like this at the beginning of the last season, where Brucey came in, a couple of good fast-paced players. That's what, that was a big call last season, is that we needed pace. And Brucey brought that in. And this season, we need new, young talent coming through. And a mixture of everything, a mixture of pace, a mixture of older players, new young talent coming through. And we've got a lot of older players, so to bring in some youngsters, that'll even out the squad a little bit, get that energy, get that dire need to play, just players who want to play football, and that's it. You know, we've signed FDB, which I cannot pronounce his name. I'm sure I'll try and get it, because I got Urogady, so I can get FDBs. But I'm going to call him FDB because he's from City. Sounds like Kevin De Bruyne. We signed him. He sounds like he's going to be a good player. We got Izzy Brown on loan, which I'm a bit umming and ahhing about at the moment. And we also got Shea Dunkley, who seems like a, from his interview, seems like a real proper, you know, future captain in the ranks, to be fair, with Shea Dunkley. However, it depends how you want to look at it. You know, Shea Dunkley's 28, to be fair. He's come on. He's not that young, to be fair to him. We obviously look like we could be getting Josh Windass back. Jonathan Lecco's been on the transfer rumours. So young, pacey players are coming through. FDB, he's young, a young talent from City. Can't be that bad if he were playing for City. And obviously Izzy Brown's had a lot of loans. He played for Huddersfield. He played for Brighton. He's played for Luton Town. He's played for Rotherham at one point. He's still on Chelsea's books. So in the scheme of things, it's good. It's good. We're signing players again, which is great. We've obviously signed some new backroom staff. We've not got rid of Bullen completely. He's now in the under-23s. But again, I think Gary Monk has kind of got a bit of an out with this, is that he's got his backroom staff in. He's got James Beattie. He's got Darren Flavahan. Daryl Flavahan. I can't say it. But you know what I mean. He's got a good lot. And Andrew Hughes as well. He's got his backroom staff from Birmingham. He's got no excuse now to do well. And I think having your own backroom staff does help you. I think it really does. And they've been known to do quite well as well. And Fiseu Deli Bashiru. That's what I'm going to say. I think that's how you pronounce it. That's what I'm going to go with. But yeah, we've got James Beattie, the old blade, as the assistant manager. But yeah, overall, new times are ahead, and I think there's a lot of like transfer rumours in the pipeline. We've even been rumoured to be looking at a guy called Nsame. Now Nsame plays for Young Boys in the Swiss league, and he was the number one goal scorer in that league. Got a lot of informs on FIFA. If any of you guys are FIFA players out there, looking around about £7 million. Now I'm not sure whether that's actually true or not, but there you go. But yeah, I think the youth that are coming through, especially with Alex Hunt, Liam Shaw as well, as I've previously mentioned, and I think just getting, you know, we look like we're wanting to offload possibly Juice van Aken, who's just come back in, but wanting to get a couple of defenders, and obviously we need some strikers as well, which we are in dire need for, because currently we've only got Jordan Rhodes. So I think there'll be a lot more signings on the way, so stay tuned. However, saying all this and being positivity, bringing positivity as I like to do on this podcast, you can also say the opposite, is that FDB, he's come from City, never really done anything before. Shea Dunkley broke his leg in February and he's come to Wednesday. You know, when a leg break, you know, there's never, ever the same player. Looking at Josh Windass, who looked good, but didn't do a lot. Didn't really start. Looking at Jonathan Lecco, I mean, he looks an all right player, to be fair. But, again, quite young. And Izzy Brown, last season he was on loan at Luton, who, you know, did okay for Luton, stayed up. Actually, I think that's a great, great thing to do. But, you know, going from Luton to Wednesday, is it someone that we really, really, really need? Do we need someone better than him? But, to be fair to the players that have come, they're coming realising and knowing that we are starting on minus 12 points. That's going to affect us. I think that's the reason why Chancellor has backed Gary Monk, is that we do know that a lot of managers wouldn't come. A lot of players won't want to come to Wednesday at the moment because of the predicament that we're in. We're going to have to get through with the players that we've got and then move on after this. You know, maybe next season, if we hopefully stay up, we can then move on from there. But we'll have to see. But the new season, it feels new and young and scary. But like what a youngster is when they come through in football, it's scary, frustrating, fast, rapid, young, new, as I say. And the only thing that we can do is play football and try and win games. Sound like Michael Owen there, but it's true. It's true. And if we've got to do it through having a good vibe between the manager and the players and the backroom staff, and hopefully we've got that now. And obviously, hopefully we'll be able to bring in a few more players, maybe get Jacob Murphy back in on loan, get a few other players back in on loan, some new, fresh, fast talent, and kind of make a pacey, athletic team, maybe something like the Huddersfield team, you know, back in when they got to the playoffs and beat us. I actually won it. I forgot about that. But yes, all is there to be seen. And hopefully we will come through at the other side a better team. And hopefully get to the Premier League in the next few seasons. So yes, new season equals new beginnings, hopefully. And a new Wednesday. And a better Wednesday, for that fact. And to be fair, saying all this, just doing the season review now, it's crazy because in almost about 3 weeks, the new season begins on the 12th of September. And with all this coronavirus, everything's just gone upside down and so confusing that I've lost complete track of days. So, and obviously I'm still furloughed as well, actually, which probably a lot of you guys probably aren't out there. But so yeah, I actually work for a coffee cups company out there, if you guys want to. So anybody who needs coffee cups, type in www.coffeecups.co.uk and you'll be able to be provided with your coffee cup needs. And we also do tableware as well on there. So just giving them a little sponsor out there, because I think a small independent business like that do need that at this moment in time, as along with a lot of businesses. So yeah, there you go. But yeah, the new season begins on the 12th of September this year, and it'll conclude on the 8th and the 9th of May 2021, and the playoff finals will go back to the spring bank holiday weekend at the end of May as well, which is weird. But it's going to be coming thick and fast, the fixtures this year, because we've got probably a month less time to do it in. And it's going to be a tough start. We've got Cardiff away at the start, and then we go to Watford, and we finish the season at Derby. We've also got Rotherham and Barnsley in October, I believe, and then Barnsley the day after my birthday as well, or the day before, I think, in March. So, yeah, a lot of things to look forward to. A couple of derbies. We've obviously lost Leeds, but we've got Huddersfield, Barnsley and Rotherham, which were the worst three derbies, the annoying ones. The ones that they care about more than us, but there you go. But yeah, as I was saying, new beginnings, but that also means new beginnings for the Wise Out podcasts. This is the final one of season one. Season one should have finished a long time ago, but unfortunately it hasn't. So again, we're going to have a little break in between the seasons, but probably not as much as what the last podcast, the coronavirus special, and this podcast, to be fair. You know, I was contemplating what to do, you know, because podcasts sometimes become a bit stagnated, especially when you talk on your own. And it's tough to think what to do, because there's only so much you can talk about with Wednesday. Is that you can talk about, you know, the matches. And a big thing this season is that, unfortunately, I have not got a season ticket for two reasons, mainly. The first reason, and the main reason, is because me and the missus are currently moving out. So it's all DEFCON 1 on saving money. And the missus was kind of a bit like, right, well, Wednesday season ticket's got to go. So unfortunately, I haven't got one of them. And the second reason, just because of coronavirus, I think at the current moment, nobody really knows what the situation is going to be like at grounds, whether we're actually able to go, if they're going to have a cap on capacity, is it going to be spaced out seats? Is it? I heard something that the first front seven rows of the tier will be free, and then everyone will be sat back from there. Or, you know, is it only going to be home fans that are allowed in the stadiums, or is it half home, half away, or is it just one stand going to be open? I'm not sure. So the uncertainty of it all is, you know, and the chance that you might miss out on a good third of the season, you know, there might be a chance that you might not be able to get into reality in football stadiums until the early stages of next year. And I think a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of older Wednesday fans, and a lot of them are still like, well, like, I just don't want to take the risk. And why would you want to take the risk on just football? You know, at the end of the day, it's only a game. And hopefully Wednesday will probably do something for the fans. I mean, they did something for the season ticket holders, you know, offering loads of different choices. You know, if you're a season ticket holder and you've not seen that, go onto the Wednesday website. You can see all the different options you can have for the rebate. You can just have a refund, which they're sorting around about now. You should be getting your refund around now to a month's time. There's also obviously money off on the mega store, which actually I chose. I got myself a nice polo and a jacket and a nice Wednesday shirt and a woolly hat for the winter, and a golf set, a little bit of a golf packet type thing. It's got like tees in and golf balls. But yeah, overall, it's going to be a weird one, and it's going to be a weird one, and I just don't want to take that risk. And I think a lot of fans are like that at the moment. And the uncertainty of just not getting in the ground, I just don't think it's worth it. But any chance that I get, I know a lot of people with season tickets. If any of you guys out there can sort us out any tickets, that'd be greatly appreciated through the time. I mean, I give you a shout out as well. But yeah, we'll have to see this season. Hopefully I can get to as many games as possible, but the world has just come to a bit of a stop, and so's football at the moment. But hopefully in the new year we'll get back to normal. But anyway, so that's that. But now I guess it's time to reveal the new ideas for the Wise Owl podcast. So yeah, once again, I'd just like to thank everybody that's followed me over the past season and a half, I would say, and everyone for sticking with me through Corona. Obviously, as I've said before, you know, over time, podcasts become a little bit lackluster, become a bit stagnated, and especially ones where there's only one person like me, and mine is very specific to Wednesday fans. So I'm obviously not going to get loads of views, and I don't mind that. I just want to reach out. If I reach out to that one person and change their mind on things and give them something to look forward to, that's amazing. Because, you know, in recent times, especially over the coronavirus period, I've listened to a lot of podcasts. I've listened to things like the Peter Crouch podcast, which I think is hilarious. You know, I listen to the Wednesday podcast, the Wednesday Week and Singing the Blues and the Owl Sanctuary and all that stuff. And I enjoy them because how much I miss football. And over the coronavirus period, I've I've got into golf a lot. I have done golf since I was about 6 years old, but I've been up and down with it for years now. But coming up to the Corona, I forgot the name of it then. I should remember that. But yeah, coming up to coronavirus, I hadn't really been playing for about 6 months. And then since Corona, I've probably played more times from the start of it to now than I have probably in the last 5 years. And I've actually grown a bit fond of it. I've listened to things like the Rick Shields podcasts, and, you know, it gives me some sort of, like, I enjoy listening to him. It makes me feel happy. And there's just something different about listening to a podcast. It's like reading a book in some ways. And just by touching that one person and just that one person commenting and making them enjoy it makes me enjoy doing them. And obviously, as I say, it's not going to reach out to such a wide audience. And I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. I just, as long as I do what I need to do, I'm happy. Now, recently, as I was thinking about the Wise Owl podcasts the other day, I was thinking about when can I do the next podcast? When can I do this bloody season review? But also, what can I do to make it more interesting next season? And what can I do to change things? Do I need to do anything specific? Now, to start off, there is something in the pipeline where I might be getting a couple of a certain person on to help me, or a couple of guests, hopefully to revamp it a bit, maybe to talk to someone. I also did an interview for a friend quite recently for a page called Sporting Ferret, and I think that's how you pronounce it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's called Sporting Ferret. And they basically do loads of different... they're an online magazine which do loads of different talking points about not only football, but sport, but mainly football. And my friend is obviously working for them, and he offered me an interview, and to basically interview about Wednesday from the 2015-16 season to now, and explain how we became playoff and Premier League contenders to points deductions. And you know, my friend, he's quite unbeknown to Wednesday, and even football in some cases, especially football outside of the Premier League and before 2012. Really, he's a big Everton fan. He's not from Everton. He's from Sheffield. He's from Tinsley side, but. I didn't want to mention that's where United fans are, so he's not a United fan. I got him out of that, but he's a good writer, and he wanted me to do an interview with him and just kind of explain to him what's going on, because he's quite fond of Wednesday, actually, to be fair, because I am, and he kind of likes to hope that one day Wednesday will play Everton in a Premier League game, and we'll both go to it. Might even vlog it, but. Well, he just wanted me to explain it and try and wrap his head around what had happened in the past 5 years. So it was a long interview, I'll tell you that much. But anyway, I did that. So that'll be coming quite shortly. So make sure to check that out. I'll obviously share that on the Wise Owl Twitter page when that comes out. But over the past few weeks, I kind of thought, what can I actually do to make the Wise Owl podcast better? And it's tough, because there's only so much you can do. And, you know, I was kind of running on and thinking, do I actually sack it off completely? Has Corona just beat me? Or do I just try something different? And, you know, I'm still not 100% sure, but the main things that I want to do is for next season is that I want to make some videos. I'm going to be getting some videos out there. A YouTube is now set up. It has been set up a while, actually, but a YouTube is up. That is the main thing. I've done an interview. I've set up a YouTube, and I'm going to take more account for myself in Twitter. In regards to Instagram and well, we don't have Facebook, but in regards to Instagram, that's kind of just there just for to be there. But Twitter is the main place. If you want to follow me on Twitter. You can also listen to these podcasts not only on Anchor, but you can listen to them on Spotify as well. I don't think you can get them on Apple, which is annoying, but Spotify is there for everyone. It's free to listen on Spotify, so give it a listen. Give it a good like, give it a thumbs up or whatever it is. Make sure to show the love and follow me on Twitter and get me out there. And the main thing that I'm going to be doing as well, not only YouTube but in for the second season, we'll do a little bit of podcasting. We'll see where it goes. But I also said there were going to be some giveaways, so I'll make sure to do a giveaway. I'll have to do one as well for this time because this is probably the longest podcast ever, and I think any of you guys who've listened deserve. And all you guys who follow me, any of you wise owls out there deserve another giveaway. So we're going to do another one of them. I'll have to figure out what that is. And we're also, you know, maybe if things go all right, depending, I'm kind of slightly tempted to even make a branch off of the Wise Owls because Wednesday's so specific. I kind of would maybe like to do one for golf, to be fair. So that's in the pipeline as well. There's a lot of stuff in the pipeline coming up. I'm very excited. But this is the end of season one, but it is not the end for the Wise Owl podcast. So please stay with, please keep with me. Please keep aboard the Wise Owl boat. And hopefully in the future we can see each other on YouTube, we can do some giveaways, and that's definitely what we're going to do. That's not see, it's we are going to. We are going to do it. And hopefully, all you guys who were with me from the start are still here, because I have been ranting on a lot this time. But I'll make sure to post the interview that I did with my friend. To be fair, I haven't mentioned his name. His name is James Fisher. I'm sure he won't mind me saying his name, but anyway, yeah, so that's his name. He's a fantastic media-savvy man. He also did film as a degree, so he knows what he's doing. So anyway, I'll keep that posted. So that's an interesting point. So hopefully that'll be coming in the next few weeks, hopefully for the start of the new season. But I'll make sure to post that. Might do a few YouTube videos, as I said. But for now, that's the season review, I believe. I think that's everything that's cleared up for season one. Once again, I thank you all so, so much for sticking with me, especially through these tough times. And hopefully you're all still doing all right out there. And I'm begging and praying that when I next do a podcast, which will hopefully be at the beginning of the season, probably after the first game, maybe a little bit before, that Wednesday have Lionel Messi up front in strike. But only time will tell. But for now, Wise Owl, out. Up the Owls. See you later. Bye-bye.